Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I'm your host Josiah, aka Mahler67, and with me as always, you know, I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing okay, but for some reason Molly got all up in my grill in the first like minute of the opening. Made it really hard for me to change over to the correct like sound settings and everything. Because like she was in front of my screen. I couldn't see what I was clicking on, so I was like, ow, hold up. That's why I kind of went away in the initiative setup or everything of that sort. Oh, awesome. How's your week going?
It's not going too bad. You know, I finally, over the weekend, I had the birthday party that I planned on, so that's why I shaved.
Yep, you're no longer Amish.
Yeah, I'm no longer Amish.
Or at least you no longer look Amish. You still have Amish in you.
Yeah, the Hostetler thing. But overall, yeah, nothing really else going on. Just been doing all that. Just watching Steven Universe. I am catching up on some of the shows that I've been wanting to catch up on and movies that I haven't watched before I've been watching. So yeah, pretty much that's been it.
Which movies what movie have you caught up on?
So I actually went and watched Blue Beetle. I watched that last Thursday, but then I ended up watching...
Did you like it?
I did not. Okay. I didn't personally like it. I think it's because I don't like George Lopez, and he's like a big part of that movie. I just don't think George Lopez.
I knew George Lopez.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I had to talk through his name a little bit, and then it came to me.
Yeah, there's just some things that like I'm just not a huge fan with. And he's just one of those people. It's kind of like Patton Oswalt. Like, me and you have talked about Patton Oswalt and how I just don't like him.
Yeah, you just don't like the man. Because you have bad taste.
Yeah, some people say that.
Nah, I'm messing
with you. No, I ended up watching a couple other movies. I watched a movie called... It's not O. Henry or It's Big Henry. I think that's his name. It's the guy from... Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's the guy that also plays in a movie called Holes. With Shia LaBeouf, but he's the one that's like the nim-witted brother.
I know who you're. Yeah. I know who you're talking about, because he was also in Buster Shrugs. He's Buster Shrugs.
Yeah. He did a movie where he was a peasant, a farmer peasant, and this guy ends up showing up. Him and his son live on this farm together because their wife has died. His wife has died of, like, I'm pretty sure they claim tuberculosis. But he ends up, like, finding this guy injured with a crap ton of money. And he ends up, like, not going to go get the money. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But then he ends up taking the money. And then you find out that these three people are after this guy because he found out that they were impersonating Rangers. So it's like a really good Western movie. I forget what exactly it's called. Here, actually, I should just look on my last watch. If it's on here. I'll just look it up. It's a movie. It's on Showtime. That's how I watched it.
Okay.
Old Henry.
Old Henry?
That's the name.
Okay.
Old Henry. It came out in 2021. I liked it. It was really well done. It is available on Showtime. I have Showtime for like, I think, $1 until the end of the year, because it was like a promotion that was going on for a while. I watched that, and then I watched I've been reading a couple of my audiobooks. Like, I've been trying to catch up on those. But overall, it was like most movies I was watching was just that. There was a movie called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies that has Pete Davidson in it. And it's kind of like a zombie movie. And then I caught up on a show, a movie called Pearl, which Pearl is a prequel to a movie called X that came out last year, or was it last year or 2 years ago? But it's just pretty much like a, it was like, it's like a horror film in a way, but it's like these, it's kind of like a 70s type horror film. Mm-hmm. But it's filmed in like a modern day, and they were going to come out with three separate movies in 1 year, but the last movie got postponed. But like the first movie is X, where it's about like these people rent this barn from the 70s or 60s, and they decide to film an adult movie in it. But then they start dying from all these, you know, like something that's going on there.
Okay.
And then you come to find out that it was this woman that kills all these kids because of some weird thing, and they made a movie called Pearl, which is a prequel about that woman that kills those kids. And I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty interesting. There's like a whole bunch of different ties into like religion and stuff like that about sexuality and religion. So I ended up watching that. That was pretty good. I finally got around to that, and then I actually finished the Starship Troopers book. I finally finished it. I've been wanting to read it for a while now, and I finally finished it up, which is very interesting. It was one of the first books to ever have power armor. It was like the thing that forefronted the power armor suits in like sci-fi movies was this book.
Mm.
And I didn't know this until I did a lot of research on it, and I was like, wow, this is way ahead of, you know, this, you know, the movie came out in like 1990 something, but the book came out in like 1940, you know, 1940s, 1930s. So like, this is something that's like that, but, and like, you know, there's totally different things in the book that I'm like, well, they never had, you know, I never would expect it to be, you know, they kind of took liberties in the movie. Cause like in the book, Carmen and Johnny never date. Carmen's actually only in the book for like maybe a good 15 minutes. The rest of the time, she's not even mentioned. It's mostly just Carl, which is William Patrick Harris's character,
mm-hmm.
Zim, Michael Ironside, and Rico. And Dizzy is actually a man, and Ace is in the book too. And the book's only like a good 7 hour read. So like you can just do, I do like an audiobook for that, because like every month I always just, you know, get one audiobook,
yeah.
And then I'll put it in my thing. And then sometimes when I'm not up to like just reading by myself, like alone, I'll just listen to the audiobook and then I'll read from my shelf, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, past all that, how is your week? getting all out there about things I've been doing.
No, that was good, man.
Yeah.
No, that's good. I don't have much to really comment on, I'll be honest. I'm on vacation now, doing basically a staycation. Baldur's Gate, man. I'm just playing Baldur's Gate whenever I'm able to stomach sitting in my chair to play. If not, I'm laying down in my bed playing on the Steam Deck, playing like Vampire Survivor or like other games I have on that I'm able to do. Trying to like clean around the house to a degree, you know, fixing things I can, getting things prepared, watching stuff. Occasionally I'll enter this like state where I want to watch the tabletop series by Will Wheaton on YouTube. I'll just like put on a playlist and just let it go, and it will go 24/7 for the next like 2 days. And it will just be background noise. That's just whatever. Like that's all I've been doing. Just playing a lot of Baldur's Gate. Playing a lot. I just completed Act 2. I'm on my way to doing Act 3. Found out later, I'm like, oh man, Act 2 is a lot shorter than Act 1. No, it's not, actually. I just steamrolled through one mission that converts the other missions into incomplete missions. Basically, like, this area of the world's cursed or whatever, and if you do one mission where you get a relic, you then take the fight to the big bad guy of the region instantly, and upon you doing that, it wipes away the curse. Well, the issue is that half of the missions in the area is based upon that curse. So if you clear the curse away, you effectively complete all those missions automatically. Because the curse is no longer a thing, thus it's no longer an issue, and thus you're done. And so I didn't realize that until I did it, and I finished. And guess what I found out? Because I was playing the game, and the big bad guy started talking to me, and I'm just like, yo, I know this guy's voice. You can't come into this guy without hearing him and instantly being like, yo, that's J.K. Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Simmons voices one of the bad guys in it. And the second he started speaking, I'm just like, that's not your tempo, man. That's not how this works. But man, he was great. He's an amazing voice actor. I know he's been in a lot of other games. I've been seeing him in a lot of games recently.
Well, I've been wanting to rewatch one of my favorite movies of his.
Mm-hmm.
When was that brought up? It was over the weekend. When I went to watch Blue Beetle, they had a trailer for like Hulu movies or whatever. And I was like, Hulu has movies. And the movie was on there. And then I was like, oh man, I haven't watched that in a while.
What movie?
And I was watching TikTok on Sunday. And then they were like, did you know? I follow this guy where he's like, did you know this movie? And the movie's called Whiplash.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a lot of people. The tempo one. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, tempo and stuff like that. Well, I was watching a TikTok and it was like, did you know that actually there's a lot of hidden secrets with this movie? And then I looked it up and I was like, wow, now I have to rewatch it to see like the certain things. Because like the tempo part is actually when he asked Neiman, at the beginning of the movie, he asked him like, what's his name? And he's like, my name's Niedermeyer. And he's like, oh, okay. And then from then on, he just calls him Neiman through the whole movie because that he thinks that's his last name. But there's a part where, like, you know, you've seen the tempo thing.
Yeah.
Where he's like, are you dragging or are you pulling? And he's like, do me a 4-4. And he's like, bup, 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 bup. And he's like, oh my gosh, you can't even read music? You know, but what's really funny is the guy points out, he's like, actually, that is a 4-4. He's just messing with him and getting in his head. That's why he did that. And I was like, oh, that's right. Okay. But there's a lot of other stuff that he said in that video. So I'm going to have to watch Whiplash. And it's J.K. Simmons, one of his best movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. We're getting Invincible soon. So he's going to be back.
Yeah, he's going to possibly come back. We don't know. Because, well, because, like, the whole Omni-Man is important to Invincible, but he's not always present in the show.
Yeah. No. Well, they announced that he was back in the trailer, so...
Yeah, it just depends on, like, how much. Like, if he's just, like, a flashback or something like that, like, that's whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if he's going to be, like, the main bad guy like he was in this season.
Yep.
But it's one of those things that when if you have characters going this way, or vice versa, you can't really, like, expect to see them or whatnot. Yeah. And then talking about characters in space, Austin, this week we watched Steven Universe Season 2.
Yep, Season 2.
Austin, what'd you think of Steven Universe Season 2?
So this season is a lot more tolerable. I will say that. I will say that I enjoyed this season a lot more than I enjoyed Season 1.
Okay.
There is some complaints I do have.
That's understandable. But
they're just minor things. They're not really... You know, there is some things where I'm like, there is some episodes that are filler, but it's not as bad as Season 1, where Season 1 was 52 episodes.
Yeah.
And most of it felt like filler. But what I liked about this season, though, is they kind of started explaining more of, like, the environment and what story we're trying to get across here. So it kind of was entertaining to a point where, you know, we did find out at the end of last season that, like, you know, Garnet is two gems. Mm-hmm. But this season we got to see the personality of both the gems, and we ended on an episode of Season 2 where it talks about how she met.
Yeah, like, how they became Garnet.
Yeah, so, like, I enjoy, like, the story that does mean something down the road. And you can tell when things are going to be tied together. And then you're going to also... But, like, Season 1, it felt like a lot of things weren't tied together. It was just a lot of junk. And this actually draws it in a little bit better. It makes it feel like there's going to be an overarching story, or there's going to be a callback that's going to happen that will invest the story in it. And this was a great episode, and one of the best episodes that was on this season was the episode where Steven gives his mom's sword to
Connie.
And Connie, so it calls back on, like, you know, what's really funny is I already knew she was going to get the sword. It was going to be her, because they changed the theme song and she was carrying the sword. And I was like, oh, that's Rose's sword. So it's like, going to happen sooner or later.
It's going to be a thing.
But it also led into the sword training montage thing. Do it for her and do it for him. I thought, you know, it brought all that in well together. It also brought in a lot of things about, you know, Pearl's character and how Pearl has something that she can't let go of.
Yeah.
And it drives her to be the person who she is. And I still like Pearl. I really still like Pearl. I think Pearl's my favorite character out of all of them. I think Amethyst kind of took a little bit out of me this season. I actually started enjoying her as a character, just because there is the episode where her and she wants her and Garnet to fuse, like them to fuse together.
Oh yeah, to make Sugulet. Yeah,
and you could tell that Amethyst is like really hurt because like we were out of control last time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to see Pearl and Garnet's fusion, which was great. I thought it was fun. It was like a magician woman thing. It was, it reminded me of the comic book hero called Kazam, which is Abra. I think that's her name. It's like Abra, Kadabra, or Kazam. But it's a DC woman that is a magician.
Zynthia? I think you're talking about Zentria?
Yeah, something like that. But I thought her name was Kadabra. I don't know. But I don't know really too much about that character, but I liked the whole magician thing. I thought that was pretty cool. But the whole episode that I really enjoyed was the episode of Anathes feeling helpless because she just felt like it was the end of
Zatanna.
Zatanna
is, but it was the magician girl.
Yeah, and I just think that this was a great episode that showed that, like, you know, even though when something is out of your control, it doesn't mean that, like, people can grow and change. I like this episode a lot. I thought it was great. And then you come to find out that actually Pearl was, like, manipulating Garnet the whole time and everyone. And she was actually the one that was repairing the tower. Yep. And it led... And what's great about this episode is it led into two other episodes about, like...
Led into the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because it's a reoccurring thing through the whole thing. Because the very beginning, like, you get introduced to the, like, Garnet being the fusion, it becoming pretty much what this whole season was about fusions. Because you have the last season ending with Lapis fusing with Jasper to lock her in the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And then you find out that Garnet's a fusion, and this whole season was like informing you, like, what is a fusion? What does it mean? Like, different perspectives and sayings and everything. Even the last episode of this season called The Answer, which is what, like you said, the whole Garnet's backstory. All that does is paint a picture for what fusion means to them, and it kind of gives you a little more context for why they reacted the way that they reacted throughout the season. I think it's a very whenever I mention, like, the first season's a rough for people, I think season two starts you off in the right pathway of what the series is going to be like. Because if I remember correctly, I think this was the season that the fan crafting theory world of Steven Universe became big.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things started being shown that weren't answered. And it was giving you enough context that people were like, wait a minute, X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z, making connections with that.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, no, that's good. I don't know, man. What was your favorite episode this season? Or at least like an episode that you liked this season.
Well, there was a lot of great episodes this season. A lot better than last season. I will say that, because there was also a lot to unpack first season. The funny story is like, this will be funny for the viewers, is I remember I actually started watching this, I think Thursday night. I started watching the newest season. Usually I do it like a day after. And I remember watching the first episode this season, and I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, please don't tell me it's going to be like this the rest of the season. And then I got a message from you saying, hey, this is a crossover episode. I'm sorry. You don't have to watch it. And I was like, yeah, I already watched it.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Say uncle.
I was so frustrated. Whenever I was watching the episode, I was like, oh, I hated Uncle. What was his name?
What was it? Grandpa Uncle.
I hated that character even whenever he had his own show. And I remember watching that, it's like, there's a crossover episode. Oh, and it's like, Rebecca Sugar and both the Uncle Grandpa people have came out and said, like, it's not canon to either of their universes. So, like, the show has no connectivity. Like, you could just skip it and nothing causes issue. And whenever I was watching it for this thing, I got halfway through it, and I'm like, I hate this episode. I despise this episode. And so I quickly tried messaging you, but it was too late. It has already been completed. I'm just sorry you had to watch that, man.
So I'm going to say that there is a lot of ties here for my favorite episode this season, because there were some great episodes that I really enjoyed. And I'd have to say one of my first episodes I really enjoy is Sworn by the Sword, because it ties in a lot with Pearl's relationship with Rose, and how she can't get over Rose, and she's trying to show Connie her same problem, but it's to protect Steven, even though Steven is a gem and should be protecting Connie. But also that they're a team together. It's kind of like Mary Jane and Spider-Man. Like, a lot of reasons why Mary Jane ever left Spider-Man was because she's an adult now and she's a journalist, and she's like, I gotta do stuff on my own. You don't, you know, you're not this protector. It's like me and you be partners, you know? So it kind of felt that way, where, like, you know, and Steven's in that way where he's like, I like Connie. Connie's cool. Connie does things for me and I do things for Connie, and we're great friends. I really enjoy that episode because it shows a lot for my favorite character on the show, that she is clearly unstable. She has not gotten over the grief that she has experienced with Rose. And she has done... she has, like, kind of sold her, like, soul for someone that probably didn't love her back the way that she thought she did, which a lot of people deal with. Like, I know so many people in relationships that, you know, that they fall in love with someone, they put all their heart and their energy, and they make it, like, this thing that works, and that just doesn't work out. So it kind of sends a good message of, like, you know, it's okay to, like, give yourself these things, but don't go overbearingly to think that it's going to change your outcome when you're trying to help someone else through a thing like this. The other thing is, I do like one of my episodes that I laughed at was it was the Chili Tide episode where Steve and them have a sleepover, because Garnet's like, I'm gonna still go look for
look for Lapis and Jasper.
Yeah, and it's like funny because, like, you know, I died laughing when, like, Steven finally meets the dog copter. And then the dog copter's like, oh, and he's like, oh, please don't tell me, like, the tabloids have always said. I don't know why I just started laughing, because I was like, oh, maybe he's, like, mean. Or I was like, oh my gosh, they don't reveal he's racist or something. Kind of weird, like the dog being racist towards cats or something. But it also showed, like, a tenderness of, like, this, you know, Steven's innocence with these older ladies that have been around him for so much.
Yeah.
When especially Pearl, I thought it was great when Pearl's like falling asleep and she's projecting like her dream in a way.
Did you ever get to meet my friend Evan?
I don't know if I
maybe not.
Did.
Okay, he's a big guy like me. Not why he's like much taller than me. Best way I can describe him is think of it like Matt, but has much bigger bushy beard and like firmer hair.
Hmm.
And he went to Techo dressed up as Greg Quartz, which is the fan name given for Pearl's dream, wherever she's like sitting there saying, "I love this, Greg. I love this, Rose." And then it turns over and it's Greg with pink hair in the dress. It's just like, thanks for fixing my van. And then pizza came out. He has cosplayed multiple times at Techo as
That's awesome.
And that's awesome. It's really good. What's funny is one of my friends I made from my job at BNY goes to Techo. And she met him before she started working there because of that cosplay. And she's like, you're Greg Quartz. Oh my gosh. And I always remember that. It makes me laugh. It's one of my favorite cosplays that someone came up with. I loved it. So I did like the episode too. Cause like that is one of the things that people started like theory crafting about Steven's powers, right? No one knows what powers Steven has. We don't know to what extent. The only things we know is that there's like healing spit to a degree. He can make a shield. He can bubble both himself and other gems. But this is the first time that we see that apparently when he sleeps, he can talk to a gem. Like he can essentially like astral project himself to another gem.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that people were like, Steven has like astral projection powers. Is this a one-time thing? We don't know. We'll see. It's just kind of crazy to see, you know? And it's like, how is that going to be a functional in the future for that matter?
That and, there's some really good episodes this season. I will say that. Like, I also liked We Need to Talk. I love that episode. That's the episode where Steven's dad sees him and Connie fuse. And then he has to explain that he tried to fuse with like Rose before, but it didn't work.
Yep.
And then it
basically confirms your thought process about what's it called? Pearl. Now she essentially was like, I'm in love with Rose, you're just a phase. She'll forget about you. You die, you're just too young and whatnot. And they do the fusion completely to just for Pearl completely to how you want to say it, like just shove in the face of Greg that he can't do what she can. I mean, here's the thing, man. That is one of my favorite episodes too, just because I love the music in that episode. The one thing I will say is that this season of Steven Universe I think has some of the best music of the Steven Universe franchise. Partitioned to one episode in season 3, I think is fantastic, and it's called Mr. Greg episode. Mr. Greg episode is a musical episode. Fantastic. There's a number near the end of it that tears me up every time I listen to it. And I want to hear your opinion whenever you get there next week. But yeah, no, this season has some of the best songs with, like, Do It For Him. That always, for some reason, like, tears me up. Especially whenever she, like, corrects herself to be like, you do it for her. I mean, that is to say, you do it for him. It also has...
Is a really good episode, too. That's the whole episode where, like, you know, they go to the hotel room. Garnet like splits up into Ruby
and Sapphire, and
Sapphire's like freezing out the room, and the whole time when it's like freezing out the room. So I'm gonna tell a little like story of our childhood, and this is going to explain a lot here. So actually today, we were watching like me and this individual that I work with, he likes to watch things with me, and I told him, I was like, hey, I gotta finish up Steven Universe, and he's like, that show that's really weird that we watched last week. I was like, yeah, I had to watch season two. And he's like, all right, I'll watch it. So we got to the Keystone Motel episode, and the weirdest thing happened was I have an ice maker that's outside of my fridge and freezer. So like when I fill up the ice tray, I got to put it in a bag and then I put it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And today it got up to like 90 degrees and I had the air conditioners rolling and everything like that. And there was this thing when I was a kid, when I was a little boy, that we didn't have air conditioner in our house. We'd only have fans at night.
We had one air conditioner and our parents hoarded it in their room.
Yes, they did. And the thing is, it's like what it was we would only have fans at night to blow in the cold air. And then we try to like keep the drapes down and like keep it all dark throughout the day. So we keep it cool in the room. And especially when you're running electronics, it doesn't really help either. And you couldn't turn on lights. We never turn on lights. My wife hates it when I'm up. She was like, why don't you turn on a light? Bring out some sun. I was like, no, I don't want that. It's because I grew up that way. It's just how it is.
Yeah, that's how we were taught. So we were poor. We couldn't afford air conditioners.
There's a part where like I'm over by the thing and I see Sapphire in the room and Steven walks in the room and it's just freezing cold. And he starts breathing air and it clicked and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't done this forever. I opened up the freezer door and I just laid my head in it and I just
breathed in. Yep.
Yeah, we used to call it frost. It was funny.
We did that. We take turns doing that during those really hot days. Our mom would get mad, being like, you're going to spoil the meat in the refrigerator.
But like the thing is like I actually sat there for like a good 5 minutes and just breathed. And I was like, man, if I could just not be like, if I could sleep in a room like that, that would be amazing. I said, but I would have to be warm enough so I don't get sick. And I was like, that's the only problem I have.
Yep.
But I started thinking about that and that was happening. And then I was like, if they're showing ice then, and then I was like, what happened to Ruby? Cause I went to the bathroom before it. And my buddy's like, oh, Ruby came out and started talking to Steven in the pool and pretty much it made a hot spot. That's why he went in. And so then the next scene is like Ruben, like completely dehydrating the whole pool.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, he's rocking around.
You also see all the chlorine like evaporating out of there because it's a chlorine pool.
Yep. And, you know, I like Greg. Because Greg is a person that's kind of like me in a way, where I don't really see when confrontation happens, it's hard for me to like give into that confrontation. I tried to like help people through that confrontation, and I'll be like, oh, hey, look, you know, it's a little smiley pancake. And then they start freaking out, and he's like, yeah, we'll just get boxes to go. You know, like,
Greg is very much. Greg is very much a person who will not cause confrontation.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that persists through his character throughout the rest of the series. You learn, like, Steven has this big capacity for, like, love and acceptance of people. He definitely gets it from Greg. Because Greg is very much, like, even whenever people do bad things to him, he just kind of tries to, like, be like, hey, it's okay, like, that's fine, I'll make do, I'll love it. Because you get all Greg's motif, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Greg is literally living in a van so Steven can live essentially, like, life as a gem. Like, everything goes good for him because Greg lives in a van. He has a job. You know what the job is called?
Isn't he, like, a detail?
He's a washing place.
Yeah.
Like, he works at a thing, and he doesn't do the Walter White thing of selling meth, or at least that we know of. We don't see it. But you know what the place is called?
I think it's like Big Wash or One Wash or
it's
something.
It's a washed.
Like it's a wash. Oh, that's funny.
Which is, it's a terminology for like a nowhere job.
Nowhere job. Yeah.
And he's literally living this life so Steven can live like that good of a life. And it makes you really like Greg, because it's like, he's living paycheck to paycheck, living in a van, completely supportive of Steven and the Crystal Gems, who have not made a single ounce of money. And that's actually funny, because there is a song in a later season. I don't know if it's the next season or the season after. I'll quickly glance through. I think it's the season after. I think it's season 4. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what season it is. But there's a season where he talks about when Steven is born, like when Steven's a little kid. And he starts realizing, I'm going to have to make money if I need to, like, raise this kid. I'm going to have to, like, care for this kid. And that's whenever he starts looking for a job. It's a whole show, a whole scene, and it's just great. But it really makes me love Greg. I think Greg is one of my favorite characters in this series because of how supportive he is to Steven and how much he, like, kind of cares for him. And as much as the Golden Girls care for Steven, I think Greg is much more of his, like, humanity side. And it's something to be said whenever you only have one person for the humanity side and three people for the gem side. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an interesting part of the show because he's like the grounded character for most things. Like, he just, you know, he's not really there for, like, anything really except for showing Steven some type of support.
Yeah.
Or anyone's support.
Like, moral support more than anything else. He's like, I can't anything. Like, I can't help in that manner. All I can do is just kind of talk you through it.
Yeah.
Which, you talked about the Keystone Motel episode. That's also an episode that gets really sad, too. Whenever they start, like, destroying the thing and Steven starts, like, freaking out. And he's like, I was just excited to spend time with my dad and you guys came here and ruined it. It's like, that sucks, man. Like...
Yeah.
Greg just wanted that too, and he was perfectly cool with Garnet going.
It also, like, deals with, like, kind of like two people that argue. Like, the problem that you have is, like, you know, you'll have people that will ask you to come out. I remember multiple times, like, when I was in, like, other relationships, or, like, you know, there's a part where, like, some people don't solve the problem that they have, and then they go out with their friends, and then it escalates.
Yeah.
And it becomes like this. Yeah, and it you get dragged into it, and it doesn't solve anything. It just makes it worse. And then you're just like, your pettiness ruined tonight. Like, we could have had a great time. We could have, like, done something cool, but I don't want to be around you anymore. And like, that's kind of how, like, Steven was. He was like, you guys kind of ruined that. And that's the thing. Like, you got to deal with that kind of stuff. Like, people that are friends that date other people and stuff like that. Sometimes that's how that is. Or even friends being friends, you know, like, sometimes they get angry with each other and never resolve it.
And
now they're... Oh, good.
Well, no. I was just going to say, and that's what brings up this next part, right? One of the things that gets Steven Universe a lot of, like, flag behind the sails and also a lot of slack, depending on your audience that you talk to, is the concept of the fusion.
Yeah.
And what it is meaning. Like, what's the meaning behind fusion? There are some people who are like, oh, fusion is obviously meant to be mean, like, intimate relationship or, like, loving love, like, type deal thing. And the reason why that gets some flack from some people who are very anti this is that all the gems are viewed as female. They're all female. You have Garnet, Amethyst, Pearl, Peridot, Lapis. They're all females. They all use she, her pronouns. And then when they fuse together, they still use she, her. And so a lot of people were viewing and comparing the gems to that of, like, LGBTQ plus representative, which I do believe that is the intention of it. That is very much the intention of it. And that's perfectly fine. Like, that's solid. But then there's also the conversation about, is fusion a meaning of relationship or more? And I've come to the belief in my eyes, and just even watching this, it's just a blanket meaning for, like, relationship in the form of, like, two people coming together in some way. And it also adds a lot more structure to it. Like, we see at the end with the answer that very much Garnet is a representation of love between two gems that love each other. Pearl also kind of views it that way whenever it comes to her and Rose. But then you also have people like Garnet and Amethyst when they fuse, and it's much more this idea of, like, supporting each other and knowing that they shouldn't be together because they caused the worst in each other to come out. or you have Pearl, who abuses that and lies and cheats in the relationship to get what she wants, which is to be fused to become Sardonyx over and over again. And then it's going to become even more prevalent with Jasper and Lapis. Because that is a situation where two people do not want to be fused together, are being forced to be together to protect something. And so that's something that it's like, you're going to see a lot more, you're going to start noticing. And that's one of the things that, like, I think caught Greg so off guard whenever he saw Connie and Steven fuse. Because one, he didn't think humans could fuse. And two, seeing his kid do it is probably like a culture shock to him too. Because Stefani is a completely different individual. They are not Steven, they are not Connie. It's a weird thing, and it's something that I wanted to like put out there so you can think about it, stipulations, thought process throughout the next couple seasons, because that is very much what this show was kind of showing in this setup.
I think the only thing that like I'm kind of confused with,
yeah,
and I think I might have a theory on it,
mm-hmm.
is Connie actually.
Okay.
So Connie being able to fuse,
mm-hmm.
With Steven, the only fusion that we've seen that's not just Connie and them is actually Gem on Gem. Like, yeah. Gem, only Gems can fuse.
Yeah.
Because even Steven's dad tried to fuse too, but maybe he didn't know how to do it correctly or whatever. But also too is they didn't fuse, or they haven't fused yet, or he hasn't explained that they have fused. I think that maybe, and also too is like what gives me the hint that Connie might be I don't know, maybe she's a gem later. Like,
oh, okay.
She could probably be a gem later, or some type of, she was born a gem, but like her parents kept it a secret, and that's why they take her to this like town or whatever, because like they're trying to, you know, it's part of like this thing that Rose did or something. I don't know, because also she uses Rose Quartz sword.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's another thing where I'm like, well, if they confuse and all this stuff, I think that this woman becomes a gem or something in some way.
Okay.
I don't know yet, but that's just a theory I have with that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is what was very interesting this season that kind of propped up like a theory of mine was when, I can't remember her name. Tit, the girl they catch.
Peridot?
Is it Peridot?
Green one?
Yeah. So, yeah. So Peridot goes back to the kindergarten and Amethyst, mm-hmm. is there. And she says, Amethyst should be a little bit, you know, like taller.
Yeah.
You know, Amethyst should be this, you know, you were in the ground for too long. And I'm like, but then there was something that she said that kind of led into me believing about the cluster thing,
mm-hmm.
and how she was like, oh yeah, it's all these gems that are doing that. But I'm starting to think, and I'm like, is the cluster not like this thing that's happening? It's more of like these gems that are escaping, or they are these gems that are being born, because she talks about Amethyst being born in the ground. And I'm like, well, maybe she's part of the cluster.
So I will say this, you get all the information in this season to identify what the cluster is. You just don't know. You're kind of onto it, because you see in the episode with whenever they're at the kindergarten, when probably one of the most freakish episodes, right next to the nightmare hospital, when Garnet, which one is it? It's the kindergarten one, right? Keep It Together. When Garnet and Steven are in the kindergarten and they're chasing Peridot, and they go to the little room that they go into, and they first get introduced to the mutated gems, the ones that are like multiple shards together, and Garnet says there, she's like, these are shards of gems forced together. They're not like, they didn't choose. Like, they're essentially being forced to fuse, which is what is happening there. And it's why Garnet kind of freaks out mentally, because it's the thing that she is, what she loves, being used against their will. And it's really like, it freaked her out hardcore. Like, it paralyzed her more than anything else.
Yeah.
And then you find out that in the later episode with the Kirigarn, Peridot tells Steven that the cluster was a plan of theirs to take shattered gems, combine them all together to create a super weapon. Yeah. And what you were saying, like, they baked for too long, you know, and then Amethyst came out wrong. That's basically what they're doing. They're waiting for the cluster to come out of the Earth, which, when it comes, as Steven shows with the little box instrument, it destroys the world when it busts out. Just like how Amethyst busts out of her like little rock whenever she was formed. Mm-hmm. That's what happens, but on a, you know, Earth global scale.
Level. Yeah.
And so you're not wrong there. You're 100% right there. And that's 100% what the cluster basically is. It's just different. Instead of them using those drill things to like take the minerals and create gems, it's like they took already created gems and kind of just mashed them together. But we haven't seen the cluster. It could be something else. It could be something more. It could be something less.
Now, there is an episode this season that I did not like.
Okay.
Just because it did start getting to the spectrum of weird.
Okay.
And I'm for one that I like weird stuff.
Yeah.
But this episode just felt really weird to me. It just felt off.
Is it the Uncle Grandpa episode?
Not that one. I'm just going to leave out. It's a crossover.
Yeah, no, don't factor that in.
Onion Friend. that one's really weird. And it had some parts where I cringed a lot.
Yeah.
Like, especially the rat, like, feeding it to the snake and stuff. I was like, oh, man, they're really starting to do this. But then it Onion just kept getting weirder and weirder and weirder. And it got to a point where I was like, I don't like this episode.
Yeah, Onion is supposed to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That is 100% truth. To the point where I will say this. There has been countless theories that Onion is actually, like, an evil person. And that there is, like, something more to Onion than what we know. Because he seems to be omnipotent in certain ways. And it makes me laugh. But, yeah, no, you're 100% right there. You also got a confirmation in this one. And that was Vidalia, who we see in the first episode with Greg in the past, like, I think last season, where he talked about with what's his face. Oh no, A Story for Steven. In this season, when he talked about Greg's manager that was with him, and how, like, you're like, oh, he looks really familiar. Oh, that's legitly Sour Cream's dad.
Yep.
And he just skipped town after she got pregnant. And then she married Yellowtail, which is a boat operator that you see in the background of a lot of episodes, but he hasn't been, like, in a lot of episodes. And he is Onion's dad.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I watched that and I realized they're all legitly Onion-based things. I was like, the heck did Vidalia, I just realize? Vidalia, Onion, Sour Cream. Yellowtail.
Cream Fresh. Cream Fresh is the sour cream of Britain, of Britain.
And so when you realize that, you're like, okay, I know everyone in this family. Okay, yeah,
This episode made me uncomfortable, just because, like, there was a lot of things that, like, Onion did.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I was just like, oh, man, I don't know how I feel about this.
Onion legitly just makes you feel unsettled. There's no doubt about that. I can fully agree with that.
Yeah, it kind of disturbed me there for a minute.
realize it does also make you realize too that, like, the gems have been active. Like, it was this episode and the historical friction, the one right afterwards, where you realize that, yeah, the gems have been active for hundreds of thousands of years, because you saw that Amethyst was friends with Vidalia back whenever she was young, and she would pose for her. You found that all the crystal gems were there whenever Beach City was founded by the original guy. And that's just, like, the beginning point. Like, we don't know how long they've been around for.
Oh, man. I forgot about that Onion episode, but now I remembered. One of the things that made me cringe was the videotape.
Oh, yeah, where it's like, is this your mom giving birth to you?
I was like, stop.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I was like, I'm done. I was like,
that's the thing. Like, it's like jokes like that. Like, that's the equivalent of the Gravity Falls jokes, where it's just like, it's edgy enough that like kids won't get it, but adults would be like, I can't believe they just made that joke. Like, Steve just watched Onion get birthed.
What's even worse is, like, I went to the bathroom and then came back and actually I started watching this episode and I was like, wow, this is a really good episode. And then I was like, huh. And then it went to the end of the credits and I found out that I watched the first season, the first episode of the next season.
Yeah.
Watched the first episode. So, which was Steven's birthday. I think that's what's called or something like that. So I kind of like messed that up. So I kind of got that whole thing and like got some things out of that. So I'm not going to discuss that. We'll discuss that next
week. But
I think season two is a lot better. If people are going to watch Steven Universe, season one is a little rough. I will, you know, like I've said last week, it is rough. But season two makes up a lot of one, Steven not being annoying so much. Episodes that don't make sense and have no idea what they're talking about or even connect anything to an arcing storyline. But the problem that I do see with this show is you have to watch season one to get certain things. And there's certain characters. So maybe like someone sooner or later will cut it down to a point where like they'll be like, oh, these are essential episodes that you need from season one. But
the issue,
there's a lot.
Well, the issue isn't that like essential episodes. The issue is that there are bits and pieces of information and lore that's given in a lot of the episodes. Like even the episode of like Sadie's Song, there is a couple references and information given in it that makes you better understand Sadie. So in the future episodes, you understand her more. Or like, you know, even the Nightmare episode, like Nightmare Hospital episode, there's things about Connie's mom that are important. Or back to the barn where Peridot and Pearl has their little mech fight. There's little things that are shown. And like, what's very interesting, and I will say this, Peridot is my favorite character. She is absolutely my favorite character. I just love her gremlin energy is the best way I can explain it. She gives us a distinct information based upon like prejudice of the home world. You know, like she down talks all the gems. She legitimately asks Garnet to unfuse because she feels uncomfortable in her presence. You find out that she's essentially saying that like Amethyst should be in control because she's the highest ranking of all the gems there. Pearl shouldn't speak or talk to her because she's just a Pearl. She can't do any of that stuff. And you start like gaining these contexts for what the homeworld was like and how like everyone had like a I don't know what you say, like a goal, but like a job that they fit for. And they can't go out of what they were made for. Like, Pearl, like, was supposed to be, like, look pretty and act nice and go around and do all this stuff. Very much kind of like a sultan or, like, an assistant kind of deal thing. And Peridot is like, I'm the genius. I should be the one doing and maining all this stuff. And so you get that from, like, that episode. But, like, on the surface, that episode is nothing more than Pearl and Peridot are arguing with each other who should have control over stuff. That's all the episode is, but that's what you get from that. Like, there's not much to it. And that there's a bunch of episodes that are kind of like that. That, like, you just kind of have to sit there and receive, understand, and move from that. So, yeah, I really like Peridot. She gets better in next season. She gets even better next season. And season three, I believe, kicks up. Like, it picks up a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be interesting and fun to see your perspective on season three as it goes. Is Pearl still your favorite character?
So far it is. I would have to say, Really, is there anyone else that I really like on this season two? I'm starting to warm up to Greg, and I am starting to warm up to Amethyst a lot. But I think Pearl's still my favorite, just because there's a lot of stuff that goes on with Pearl that I actually thoroughly enjoy. Because there, you know, Pearl kind of like me is like this helpless romantic in a way, but she's also like this. The only problem I do have is Pearl kind of changed her a little bit to be like this over responsive person. But then like after you watch season one, you're like, oh, well, actually she's been like that the whole time. It's just like now she's getting more things that are involved in her life that are part of that. And I can understand why people don't like her, especially the episode with her and you know, when they make the robots and they fight, you know, like I could see, you know, she's like this trying to be a leader type, and she's really not a leader. she's kind of this character that is dealing with a lot of things that she can't get over. And you know, I think that later on in this series, which I really think that's going to happen, is like you're going to see a lot of growth with Pearl.
I'll say this, the growth of the cast in Steven Universe is pretty monumental. I think season 3 and 4, I think it's because there's only 4 seasons of Steven Universe. I mean, yeah, there's only 4 seasons of Steven Universe.
Well, it was 5 seasons. I remember I watched a video on some guy that talked about how like there was 5 seasons, yeah, and they dubbed it down to like 4.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Yep. And so it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see your like characters, how you like them and everything, because there is a lot about each character we don't know yet. We don't see. Honestly, I think the one character with the most like the most shallow backstory is actually Garnet. And it's not because she's a shallow character. It's because she is like she's the most put together of them all. Amethyst, Pearl, Steven, Peridot, other gems that you haven't met yet. They are very much, they have like things in their past that will get figured out and aired out later. That'd be good. I'll be excited to see that when that happens, Austin. So, Austin, I think that basically covers it for this week of Bros and Shows. I appreciate you so much for stopping by, Austin. It was good talking to you about Steven Universe. And I'll see you next week when we do season 3 of Steven Universe. To everyone out there who is watching us right now, thank you all so much for stopping by, and thank you all so much for tuning in.